What if there was a treatment that eliminates allergies for good? Even those allergies that are life-threatening, like peanut allergies. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about on today's show. Now, I've got Dr. Roy Nambutrapad, the son of the creator of this technique we're going to be talking about, and it's called NAET, and that stands for Nambutrapad's Allergy Elimination Technique.
The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
And I've got her son with me today. And he's a licensed physician in Southern California, and he practices NAET, which is a non-conventional form of allergy treatment. And he also works with teaching it and with some of the administrative aspects of this treatment and of this procedure that they do. So I'm so happy to have him. I'm really, really happy to have him on the show because I have been wanting to interview him or interview someone on this technique for a while now, and we're just now getting around to it. I have had this technique used on me several times, and it's helped me in many ways, and I want to just, I'm so happy that I'm able to share this with everybody else because not many people know about this. Well, Dr. Roy, I'm going to call you Dr. Roy, if that's okay. Really glad to have you on the show.
And, thank you.
You know, on your site, NAET.com, and we'll also have that on the show notes below the podcast for those that want to look more into it. But on your site, you say that Dr. Nambutrapad, which is your mother, and we'll talk about this too here in a minute, your mother, Dr. Devi Nambutrapad, actually discovered this technique, my understanding, by accident, according to her book. But on your website, you say that Dr. Nambutrapad gives a new definition for allergies. What is that new definition?
Well, yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me. It's amazing. I think she's revolutionized the concept of allergies. So traditionally speaking, in the medical world, when we talk about allergies, it's very specific to a type of reaction that the body has, which is usually involving histamine and certain antibodies in the blood that react to different foods and environmental agents. But in this concept that my mom deals with and is sort of discovering as we speak, to be honest, I think we're realizing that allergies are more universal. So in other words, you can have a sensitivity to perfumes, chemicals. You can even have sensitivities to different emotions. So if someone gets angry or upset, they start getting a rash on their face or start getting itching. Of course, the foods, if they're involved, there'll be a reaction. So in other words, I think the definition that my mom is trying to expand is that an allergy can be any adverse reaction that your body has towards any substance, including the sun and the radiation itself out there. So everything under the sun, including the sun, I think is one of the quotes in her book. Can be an allergy. And for my practice, for doing this for the last 13 years now on patients officially, I've come to agree with that definition.
Yeah. And this is something that I did not know till I started checking into this procedure a few years ago. And I read her book, and I also want to mention her book. Your mother has a book, which has several out, but the first, kind of like the main benchmark of all of her books is called Say Goodbye to Illness. That's the book that's called Say Goodbye to Illness. You can get that, of course, on Amazon and other places. But that's really the first book. If you want to learn more about this technique, really want to get in depth about it, that's the book you need to read. And when I was reading that book, she talked about how you can be allergic to anything. And she gave, it's a phenomenal book, but she gave examples about how that one lady was actually allergic to her own adrenaline. And I had not even thought about that before. That seems crazy. But when the lady was treated, her symptoms went away. And she passed the treatment. Her symptoms mm-hmm. went away, and she could live a more normal life. So talk about that. We can be allergic to anything. Some people are even allergic to water. And I know that sounds crazy, but y'all have seen it in your practice.
Yeah. So a really good example that most people I think would understand is diabetes. Especially type 2 diabetes, which is adult onset diabetes. There's still a lot of, kind of debate and science and research going on about that disease. But if you look at my mom's definition and apply it to that disease, it makes sense, right? So what happens in type 2 diabetes is, as an adult, for some reason, whatever that is, the person's body tends to not respond to insulin as much. So it type 2 diabetes is not a problem with insulin per se. In other words, that you are making insulin in your body on your own properly, in fact. However, that insulin does not create the same effect as it did when you were younger. Of course, scientists will say that, you know, the receptors to the insulin are being deregulated, and there's a lot of fancy terminology that they use. But really, I mean, if you look at the general concept of it in terms of our body, it's kind of like an allergy or a sensitivity. In other words, the body is sort of allergic or not responding or has an adverse reaction to the insulin. And so that's another example that you can take where, you know, this concept of allergy or sensitivity could be applied to hormones or innate compounds that are found in the body.
Okay, well, what causes that? I mean, what causes the body to, you know, if that is true, then what causes the body to change the reaction to these things, like insulin, adrenaline, or whatever else may be causing the problem? Whereas when you're younger, it works fine. When you're older, it just stops working. What causes that?
Right. That's the, $600,000 question, or however you want to call it. But basically, our philosophy on that with NAT is that there's a number of factors that when that come into play into your life, that causes you to sort of react differently to that compound, let's say of insulin, for example. So one factor could be emotions, stress. I remember even when I was working in the hospital before I was doing NAT, I remember seeing patients that develop type 2 diabetes after a stressful event, a spouse dying or a car accident or some sort of stressful event. That's one thing that can be a part of it. Another part could be that your immune system, for whatever reason, just gets diminished because of deficiencies in different vitamins or lack of nutrition, proper nutrition. When you don't maintain your car the right way, eventually it starts breaking down and you start hearing noises here and there. So the answer to that situation is to make sure that your car is well maintained. So it's the same kind of thing, especially in America, where our lifestyle may be a little bit rough and, stressful sometimes. But with NAT, what we try to do is desensitize the body towards those different stressors, like emotions or different allergies that may already be there. Sometimes the allergy is there pretty much all your life. It just, for whatever reason, as you age, you're unable to sort of maintain your bodily functions as well, because of course with the aging process, your body starts to break down. So essentially, if you treat when you're younger, the idea could be that when you start breaking down as you get older, you don't show those symptoms. We have seen that also. So almost like in a preventative way, treating in a preventative way. Of course, in American Western medicine generally, we were always used to sort of having to deal with things as they come. So after the fact. But with NAT, I think the point is that there is a reason that your body reacts differently to different things, and the hope is to desensitize the body so it doesn't end up in that state later on.
Okay, so it's basically, our bodies go through, I mean, everything's changing. We're always changing. It may not seem like we're changing, but things are changing all the time. We're never static. It's always changing. So since the body is fluid and changing, and as we get older, a lot of times it tends to get worse, unfortunately. And so maybe you're saying, in a way, our bodies get weaker to a point, and then things that we used to, the body used to react as being friendly, now it's looking at it as enemies, and that's what causing some of the problems?
Yes, especially for the innate hormone-related items, like we're talking about with diabetes and such. But of course, there is a different group of patients who have real medical allergies since they're 1 or 2 years of age. Like you mentioned at the top of the show, with the peanut allergy, for example, that's a type of situation, classic situation where even as a young child or even an infant, they can have reactions to peanuts or different foods, for example. In those cases, there's definitely an antibody that's found in the blood that's usually genetic, or at least it's acquired somehow early onset when they're growing up. There's a lot of research still to figure out why that's the case, but there is one theory out there that cleanliness or cleaner societies tend to have more allergies, actually, and the idea being that if you're not exposed to a lot of bugs and critters when you're younger, your immune system sort of gets bored in a way. I mean, this is a rough way of kind of describing the process, but essentially the immune system starts to go after other things that is sort of benign to you. So like peanuts or tree grass pollen, you know, as opposed to what it's supposed to do, which is the immune system is supposed to go after parasites or bugs and things like this. So that's a completely different type of process. But if with that, that happens even when you're young, and that can once that allergy develops, medical allergy develops, which you can test through the blood and see it in a lab result, that will last with you all your life, pretty much. Some patients do outgrow some of those types of allergies, but for the most part, like nut allergies are typically lifelong. And we have seen with NAT that we can actually desensitize for those allergies, and patients do get better. There's a spectrum, of course, and some patients take a lot longer to get better, but I've seen some patients get better really quickly, even with nut allergies.
Yeah. Now, what about your diabetic patients? Do you have diabetic patients that you can get them better with NAET?
So there definitely are improvements that we see in those patients. But to be honest, those are one of the most difficult populations for us, type 2 diabetes, as well as ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Those are the two conditions off the top of my head that I can think of that we've tried treating many patients, and it's been a lot tougher. Ironically, the younger patients with the real severe anaphylactic type of medical allergies are actually a little bit easier for us to kind of sort of desensitize. Mm-hmm. The type 2 diabetes and other types of conditions that are, you know, maybe like stage 4 cancers, for example, those types of conditions, we can treat them and they might feel better. I'm not sure if that's a placebo thing, or it might be that we're sort of helping with their traditional allergies, and so they just feel better. There's less inflammation in their body. But typically they don't progress, of course, as quickly as with the younger children. With the real medical allergies or autism, for example, we have fantastic results with autism that are pretty rapid, especially the younger children. So those are the two groups that we typically have great success with.
Yeah, and I know you're doing a study on autism, and we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit because that's very fascinating. Now, mm-hmm. what exactly is this technique? I mean, it has to do with energy, and I talk about energy a good bit on this show, but it's basically mm-hmm. an energetic technique where you're basically desensitizing people, but you're working more with the energy fields, aren't you?
Yes, correct. Technique? Right. So I guess, you know, a good analogy that I use with my patients would be like your body's like a computer, essentially, and your spine and the nerves that come out of the spine are like the keyboard and mouse. And what you're seeing in terms of symptoms, let's say somebody has a rash on their body, eczema or something that's related to a different food or something, that could be the monitor, and the monitor is showing a problem. So you want to go now and correct the problem so the monitor shows the proper message. So what we do is we manipulate the spine. It looks more like a chiropractic technique, actually, but it's a blend of acupuncture and chiropractic principles, actually, that my mom sort of figured out, and it is evolving as we speak. Even we're, you know, trying to get this, process more streamlined and faster. But as of right now, it takes about a minute or so on the back in terms of massage manipulation type of a process that is very non-invasive. But we do that manipulation, and the idea that manipulation reprograms the nerves. So essentially you're typing on the keyboard, and then the message to the body gets reset so that the symptom goes away. And so it's sort of like a nerve manipulation therapy in a way. During this whole process, of course, the patient's holding on to a different sample, let's say, peanut or a different, clothing item, latex allergy, et cetera. That's what makes it different from traditional acupuncture too, is with acupuncture, you do sort of manipulate points in the body to manipulate the energy, but there's no substance that the person's holding typically. where with this treatment, we manipulate the spine and the nerves, and we do a bit of acupressure too on the front of the body sometimes, in the hopes of reprogramming the body's nerve response to the substance that the patient's holding.
Yeah. And so, and you'd also do a certain breathing technique too. I know the way my doctor, because I've had this done several times, like I said, it's like a roller. She rolls up and down on my back, and you have to breathe a certain way. What does that do?
Of course, as I said, we're evolving as we speak, and we're trying to figure out ways to make this treatment better and last longer. And so my mom, as the scientist that she is, you know, she's always sort of questioning her methods and trying to see if there's a faster or better way to do this. So if you were to compare NAT when I had it for the very first time when I was 5 years old, when it was discovered, compared to now, it looks like radically different. We didn't have that breathing technique back then. We also had a different looking machine too, or we were just using our hands back then. But now we have different machines that we can use for the acupressure. We also, the samples themselves look radically different. They're more like homeopathically made samples that we introduce now. So it's streamlined. And then we have, of course, a different type of technique with breathing and to introduce a stress element into this technique that we found makes the treatment just last better. It helps the body sort of reprogram faster. And we teach a lot of this in an online course, actually, for healthcare professionals. So, you know, there are a lot of mimics out there and people who are claiming that they're doing NAT, unfortunately, and they're not properly trained. So what I would recommend to people out there, just to, you know, if it looks confusing and they don't know if they're getting proper treatment, I would make sure they go to our website, www.naet.com, and just make sure that the person they're going to is listed on that website. That's part of my job, is to make sure that the practitioners who have trained in this worldwide, we have practitioners in pretty much every continent, that they are able to do this, and we're able to regulate them, make sure that they're doing a good job, et cetera.
Yeah, because that is very important. And I know my doctor is, of course, one on your website, and she has to go for, continuing education type things ever so often. And yeah, because I know y'all do change things from time to time, and I think that's very, very good. You're always trying to improve it. And mm-hmm. and that kind of a thing. And it is really, really important that you know, people get the right practitioner to do this. Now,
yes.
When did your mother discover this? And how did she kind of discover it, by accident?
It's obviously very difficult to go into someone's head. But from my conversations and my memories from being with her and everything, I have a feeling that she sort of was exploring this actually a few years before I was born, in the early 80s, late 70s. After I was born, 1980, that's when I think she really sort of became more desperate, because I was actually very sick as a child, right after I was born, actually. I had a lot of allergies growing up. By the time I was about 4 or 5, I believe, is when she sort of formalized the technique, came out with her first manuscript on this technique, which basically is the precursor to what we know today as Say Goodbye to Illness. Developed the module of this technique at that point. It was by accident, but of course, she was always exploring. And even before she discovered this combination of acupressure points and treatment, she tried many other things, acupuncture, Western medicine, chiropractic, nutritional things. And what she realized actually initially, the way this started, is when she cut out certain foods from her diet, that's when she would feel better. That was the first thing, I think, the first step in the process. And that might have actually started even before I was born. And she had a lot of health issues herself. She was a nurse, actually an ICU nurse, but she had a lot of arthritis and headaches and random chest pains and things of this. And she tried so many things, nothing was helping. So I think that desperation led her to figuring this out. Of course, there are many people who are desperate out there, and I don't know why she was the one to happen to find this, but one thing I can tell you about her, she doesn't give up. That's a very unique quality in her. she, you know, she'll try something, and if it doesn't work, she'll go right after something else. And she, of course, was seeking improvement in her health. So just the combination of all of that, as well as her environment. You know, she was in California at the time, and California was pretty open, so to speak. I mean, we had a lot of acupuncturists and chiropractors around, as opposed to other countries or other areas of the United States, even. And so she just was in the right environment as well. And I think some of her, she had gone to chiropractic school and acupuncture school to try to find help as well with her issues. But then this combination of knowledge that she gathered from her experiences led her to this point. After I was born, I was really sick, and I think that she couldn't take it at that point. She just really needed to find something. And so she tried everything on me, eventually found that this treatment helped me as well as my father. And so that one thing led to the next, and now here we are.
Well, you know, that's how several things are discovered, and that is through either by accident or through desperation. And so,
yes.
And that's a very good quality to just never give up. And
right.
That's something, yes. I really like that quality in people. I want to take a quick break. This is Beverly Butler, and you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutloud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Talking today to Dr. Roy Nambutrapad. He's a medical doctor that practices NAET, which is a non-conventional form of allergy treatment. And we've been discussing what it is and how it works. And, you know, this is something that I've had done many times, and it has helped me tremendously. One of the I started having this treatment 3 or 4 years ago, and it was about, 9 months in. I've had tons of allergies. Several months into it, I really wasn't feeling anything, but my doctor explained how it worked and that you may feel something the first treatment, or it may be the 100th treatment you actually feel better. So I understood the concept, and I kind of understood what to expect, and just, you know, you needed to hang in there. So I was hanging in there. And then I believe it was, I started in January, and then about September, somewhere around September, and I think it was after I passed the fall pollens. Now, I'd had a whole lot of treatments, and I mean, I had tons of allergies, like I said, but that September, I remember walking, and it just dawned on me how good I felt. I felt lighter, I had more energy, and I was, sleeping really much better than I had been. I'd go to bed and I'd fall asleep within minutes, and that was unusual for me. And I was sleeping so good, like I said, and I know that helped me to feel better, but I was just had so much more energy. I felt better than I'd ever had in my life. And I got to thinking, I'm like, well, what, because I've always had a fatigue problem. And of course, this was about 3 or 4 years ago, and I got to thinking, okay, well, why am I feeling so good? Because I had learned from my daughter and watching myself, you know, you kind of learn what triggers things and what doesn't, because she was sick. And of course, Dr. Roy, you don't know my story, but some of the listeners do. My daughter's had chronic Lyme disease, and of course, she's doing a lot better now. But I learned through the years, and she had other problems associated with that, but I learned to watch her closely and see when she improved and when she got worse, and see if I could pinpoint what was causing what. So that, of course, you could minimize or get rid of what was causing the problems and try to, you know, figure out what was going on. Well, I would do that with myself also. If I feel really good, I'm like, okay, why am I feeling so good, you know? And then I got to thinking, and I'm like, the only thing it could have been was the NAET, because I had been having, I remember what the doctor told me, and I had so much energy and felt so good. And it was after I passed the fall pollens. And so fatigue, and that let me know that the allergies, one of the main symptoms that the allergies were causing me was fatigue. And I have felt so much better since. And of course, I've been through a lot of some stressful events since then, and I've kind of have different some days you feel better than others, but overall, I have felt so much better since that day in September that it just kicked in and it just hit. And you may want to address that here in just a minute so that people can understand how this really works. But like I said, I have felt so much better since then. And I wanted, what are some of the a lot of people know what the typical symptoms of allergies are, but there's some non-conventional symptoms that people don't realize could be caused by allergies, and fatigue, which was bothering me. Fatigue is one symptom of allergies, and they can be any number of symptoms, but go over what some of the non-conventional or atypical symptoms of allergies are.
Sure. So, I mean, if you look at some of my mom's work and some of her writings, and I agree with this point, she says actually most symptoms in the body that people complain of are related to allergies or this allergy concept of sensitivity issues. And the idea behind that is that if your body is obstructed for some reason in its normal reaction process to nutrients or environmental triggers, foods as well, what happens is, again, your body's like a computer. And if you have a lot of viruses going on and a lot of programs that are open up on the screen, the computer tends to get hot, or at least it slows down. It's the same kind of process with the body too. So if you have a lot of allergies, a lot of nerve inflammation that's happening, nerve irritation from different triggers, deficiencies in different vitamins because you're sensitive to things, or hormonal issues, as we mentioned, because you're sensitive to the hormones, your body tends to break down. You don't have the proper energy flow. The metabolism starts to slow down. And that can, play out as fatigue. But also it can even play out as anger, emotional outbursts, which people don't typically associate with allergies. But a lot of the emotional reactions people have to different situations is partly because of nutritional deficiencies. I think my mom always says we would probably have world peace if everyone had NAT, and I would probably agree with that. But a lot of other things too, like cancers, we're starting to notice some patients with especially low stage cancers, they do benefit from this treatment. I even had a patient with a rare jaw tumor actually get better after NAT. The tumor started to go away, and we have many professionals who do NAT, and they present their findings at our annual research symposium, actually. And I remember one time a dentist from Israel presented his own case of a brain cancer that he had, and he just had a surgery, and that was it. And they were recommending chemo and additional radiation, but he just did NAT. And this was 14 years ago, and he's still alive and doing well. And every time he comes and talks to us, he always says that NAT helped him. So that's another type of situation that you would not consider to be an allergy. But again, if you go with my mom's theory of what an allergy is, in that it's just a adverse or a altered reaction that your body has towards anything in your environment, including stuff in your body as well. Of course, most symptoms can be explained by that.
Yeah. And, people, like I said earlier, people can be allergic to water. And this blows my mind how that our bodies can just start reacting to just normal everyday things, like vitamin C, even nutrients, any nutrients you can be allergic to. You know, people have the mistaken belief, well, it's just, gluten or peanuts or certain things that you can be allergic to anything. Water.
Absolutely.
You can be allergic to water. I was treated for water, literally treated for water. And, and even your own, like I said earlier, again, adrenaline or hormones, you can be allergic to those type things. And so it's just, it's still mind blowing. And I'm going to say this, and this is really going to blow people's mind, but in the book, Say Goodbye to Illness, your mother talks about how that there, and I want you to elaborate on this a little bit, but she talks about how there's this one child in the family who would misbehave. The parents couldn't do anything with him, and they actually had thought about putting him up for adoption. Now, they had other children. Now, that seems crazy, but the child was really, they couldn't do anything with him, and they were at their wits' end. So they go in and get NAE treatments, and they test him and they find out he is allergic to his parents. Now, that is like, you know, some people say, oh, that is not true. But they treated him. They treated him. And he got better. He passed the treatment. And then his behavior settled down. And they decided to keep him. And, you know, and everything was fine. He didn't have a behavior problem. He just acted like a normal child after that. So that's what's mind-blowing with this, is you say these things and people are like, oh, that is so crazy. I've never heard of that. Well, listen, folks, there's a lot of things I've never heard of. But when you can treat them and you have evidence and then the problem goes away, well, that makes you kind of scratch your head and you're like, well, wait a minute here. But, you know, we can be allergic to dogs and cats, so why not people? So have you seen that in your practice, any other instance?
Absolutely. So another great example of that, which I, as a scientist, I find really fascinating is autism. So I have, for example, I had a family with two autistic children. Unfortunately, they were twins and they were both the twin boys and they were both autistic. And what was odd was that, you know, one of the boys, they were both nonverbal. They would not look at the eyes. They, you know, they would just be in their own world, typically as an autistic child is. But what was odd is one of the children, every time they would come into the office, they would just be, you know, he would just go violent and make funny movements, and it was very hard to control him. As soon as he steps out of the office, they were both fine. The other child was you know, peaceful and calm the whole time. What I found out was that the one child that would always kind of have these funny movements was actually allergic to one of our staff members. In our office,
you've gotta be kidding.
And not allergic to me, or you know, if that staff member was not in the office, the boy would be totally fine. I was in the office one time alone, and because I couldn't have my staff there for whatever reason, the children and the parents both came into my office and saw me, and everything was fine. So you know, people might say, oh, you know, they didn't like the clinic, or they don't like the smells in there, or something like that. That's not the issue either. But the next time when my staff was there, and when the children come, he would just react this way. And you know, again, you could say that maybe it's a, you know, maybe they don't like the person but this is an autistic child. They were about six or seven years old. You know, it's hard for me to imagine that someone would have that kind at that age, that kind of a specific type of issue. But when we treated for the staff member, this problem went away. And both children were fine. You know, of course, the other child didn't have a problem with that in the first place. But and then after we did a bunch of NAET, of course, they both started speaking and actually doing really well. But that's an example there for you. Of another really great example that most of your audience probably can relate to is divorce, marital issues. You know, a lot of times we find that when the spouses get treated for each other, a lot of those problems start to subside. A lot of the normal things that most people would not have a problem with during marriage, after a certain point of time, for whatever reason, starts to irritate the couple.
Yeah.
And what we find is that when you treat the couple for each other, in some cases, in other cases, there may be an actual issue, of course, but in many of the cases, it's just a simple allergy to each other. And then when you treat for that, a lot of the common everyday problems that most people don't really, you know, think is reasonably an issue, start to not be a problem anymore. We also see that happen too.
Yeah, that is fascinating. So all you married people out there, so if you start getting irritable with your spouse for no good reason, and the wife's not going through menopause, then maybe you need to look into the possibility you've grown allergic to each other.
Okay. Right.
And I know people are rolling their eyes at that, but this is interesting though. But the amazing thing is that when you treat for people, when you treat people for these problems and you, like you've just said, they get better, you know, again, you have to say, well, maybe there is something to this. And, you know, having some NAET treatments is a whole lot better than getting a divorce, if that can prevent a divorce. So what about now, I want to talk a little bit about these neurobehavioral problems. And I know y'all have treated children with ADHD and, like you said, autism and stuff. How has this helped just in general, children with neurobehavioral problems?
Yeah, it's tremendous. It's actually my favorite population to work with because You know, there it's almost like a science experiment. You know, children are sort of like animals. You know, especially the misbehaviors out there. They just respond to these treatments so well. There's no placebo or bias that I can see in them. You know, I just treat them and I see the responses. You know, with adults, of course, there's a lot of issues that are involved sometimes when we treat people. But with children, it's just fascinating. When we actually do this acupressure technique, we can see the responses right away. The parents come to us and tell us that, you know, they're calmer, they behave better. You know, typically they do better in school. I hear that quite often.
Yeah, I was going to ask about their schoolwork.
Yes, that they oftentimes, I mean, based on my experiences now, I would give it about an 85% chance in any random child that comes to me that has, school problems that come to me that they would get better with the NAT in that respect. I'm pretty confident with those types of things. Of course, also, there are immune system issues that children deal with. You know, a lot of kids have chronic UTIs or cough or cold every other day, et cetera, that type of thing. When they come to us also, when we treat them using our process and protocols, they often do get better as well. So, but the neurobehavioral aspect of it is fascinating to see. You know, it's almost like as I said, an animal turning into a human being in a way, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is. That's really neat. So basically what you're doing is reprogramming the body. So that
I would say the brain and the nerves, especially.
Okay.
And in conjunction, you know, obviously the hormones and the tissues, the muscles, bone, those all interact with your nerves as well. So the nerves are just more of a gateway, like a keyboard, as I was saying earlier. So by manipulating that keyboard or the nerves, in this case, you sort of affect the end points, you know, the monitors, so to speak, like the bones, the tissues, brain, et cetera. So I think we're using the nerves to sort of reset the rest of the body.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's very interesting, too, that after a treatment, you know, like if you're being treated for apples, well, you know, and you're tested to see how long you need to stay away from that particular food. And then once you say if it's 25 hours or 40 hours or whatever, you stay away from that food when you're having the treatment. And then when you come back, if you've passed the treatment, then, and this may have changed, but you can let me know, but I think it's also fascinating that you're actually supposed to eat that food, like the apple or whatever, after you pass the treatment. And that is so that it can tell your brain that this food's okay now. That helps with the reprogramming. Is that still done like that?
Yes, that's. I'm actually glad that you brought that up. It's slightly different now. That was true in the 80s and 90s, you know, when we were doing this for sure. But we've unfortunately dealt with a lot of issues recently with anaphylaxis and severe allergies these days now. And it's actually becoming more and more common, we find. In those cases, and actually, so now we just assume that's the case for most people, to be honest with you, because we want to be very, very safe. You know, this treatment can be a problem if you don't do it properly, of course. So what we want to do is make sure that we cover for that. So we nowadays don't tell anyone to eat right after the treatment. We actually do testing. In addition to the muscle testing, we actually do blood testing, you know, additional lab work that can be done just to make sure and ensure that the patient is safe to eat that item. So, for example, if someone had a severe allergy to apple or if someone has a severe gluten allergy or celiac disease, et cetera, you know, we don't do the same thing, obviously, where we did in the old days where, you know, as soon as we treat you, if the muscle testing is accurate, then we just or says that you're clear, we just have you eat that gluten again. Nowadays, we're a lot more careful with it, and we teach that in our course, obviously, of how to sort of assess for that. But in some cases, of course, if all the lab work is negative and, you know, the patient has been eating this food for many years and just all of a sudden the last few years having an issue with it, that's most likely not really an anaphylactic type of situation. It could be an emotion or something else that's causing this issue to happen. In those cases, after one or two treatments, likely the patient can go back to eating that food.
Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Why do you think people are getting worse? Because, like I said, and I've said this many times on this show, and I've talked to other people, they say their patients are getting worse. I mean, are you seeing that in your practice? I mean, you're seeing that there's more and more of these more severe allergies. What's causing all this?
Yes, you know, I would agree that the way I would term it is it's transitioning. It seems like the diseases are changing from one form into another. So in the old days, we used to have a lot of infectious diseases, you know, a lot of people with chicken pox and a lot of people with bacterial pneumonias. Pneumonia used to be a common thing. TB used to be very common back in the day. You know, we used to have motor vehicle accidents more and injuries, traumas, et cetera, child death, you know, when they're born and things like this, but infantile mortality. But now a lot of those things have been sort of cured, or so to speak, from our, you know, modern way of life. And I think what happened is a lot of the other diseases that are more of a sign of chronic issues are starting to pop up. So more cancer, more autism, more allergies, et cetera. That's kind of just my idea on it, that it's a transition, but it could also be that maybe our world is more toxic. Maybe there's more emotional toxicity. There's also more chemical toxicity. You know, of course, there's a benefit to having a clean society. But as I was saying in the beginning of the show, a lot of the cleaner countries tend to have more allergies. If you look at some of the countries that are not very clean, or actually are in poverty, they often have a lot less allergies and even autism. So I'm not exactly sure what the causes are, to be perfectly honest, in terms of research and stuff. But this is just my idea, that I think it's transitioning to, you know, in other words, we probably had the same amount of sick people in the old days, but they were sick with different issues compared okay. to today.
Yeah, that's interesting. That makes sense. Don't you also with this technique help remove like emotional issues like fears and phobias or any other like emotional blockage or maybe depression? Does this technique help with those?
Yes, absolutely. Again, with depression, we're very careful, especially if someone's on a medication. We, you know, there's a whole process that we follow and make sure that we're doing it safely. But yes. Absolutely, without a doubt. I have numerous cases of my own. I've heard from many, many practitioners all over the world. Of course, my mom has a whole book on it, on these things, I think. In fact, her latest book that just came out is called Resetting Your Emotions, which is also available on Amazon, I believe, which is a fantastic book. She gave so many examples of these types of things that I would recommend people go and read. But to answer your question in short, yes, NAT can definitely help with all of those conditions.
Yeah, so this new book that your mother has out, Resetting Your Emotions, now that's interesting to me. Now, does she talk about fears and phobias and things like that in her book?
Yeah, there's so many things, and there's also testimonials from actual patients in there. She also gives sort of a description of how to self-treat your emotions. Of course, there are caveats, but for the purpose of the time for the show, I would recommend your audience to read that book and kind of go over that process. She shows you how you can sort of manage your own emotions in a way. Mm-hmm. But yes, absolutely. She talks about a lot of those things.
Okay. Well, what about, so that's the book, Resetting Your Emotions. Now, how many books is your mother? Your mother's got several books out.
Oh boy, yeah, so many. I don't know how she does.
She's gotten out yet. She has out.
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure, but probably 20 or 30, I'd say.
Wow.
Ranging from, you know, how to do acupressure points on your own, to emotional books, to chemical allergies, to pet allergies, all you name it, it's probably out there.
Yeah. Well, your mother's, she's amazing. She is a true pioneer, and I just really admire her.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, what about food cravings? Does it help?
Food cravings? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We have seen those get better, as well as drug addictions, by the way. In fact, I've gotten patients off marijuana, narcotics, opiates, using NAT. We often find it actually being a issue of deficiency of B vitamins, by the way. Oh. is the biggest culprit in all of the cravings and addictions. And so there's a process that you follow. If your audience goes to their nearest practitioner, there'll be a set of 15 or 20 treatments that you pretty much do in the beginning before you get to specific type of allergies. Those are all designed to help a lot of these issues. You'll notice one of those treatments is B complex vitamins. So essentially you desensitize the body towards the B vitamins in the hopes that the immune system starts to sort of calm down and not get irritated when there's a withdrawal of sugar or cocaine or alcohol, et cetera. And so you need to do these types of immune system balancing treatments first before you start actually treating a lot of these sensitivities or allergies. So craving, in our opinion, is actually like an allergy. Essentially, the body is sensitized towards certain foods, and they rely on those foods to or items to sort of feel good in a way. And so we sort of desensitize the body for that process so that they don't require, let's say, the cocaine to feel good or the prescription medication to feel no pain, et cetera. So it's very delicate, and there's a whole process that you have to follow when you go through these things. Even with typical food cravings, you have to be careful with when you treat people, but that's what we teach in our course.
Uh-huh. And I'm glad you brought that up because I know it's very, very important when people are searching for doctors. Well, first of all, you need to go to naet.com and find a qualified practitioner to do this. But also you need to make sure that the practitioner, there's a little booklet that you get when you first go. And there's, like you said, yes. I think 15 or 20 treatments. And I think the first treatment is like eggs and some more. You treat in groups. And it's very, very important, it's my understanding, that, of course, what my doctor said, it's very important that you go in order of those first several treatments. I think whatever, 15 or 20, you have to go in order of the booklet. And if your doctor does not want to go in order, you probably need to get another doctor. Because there's a rhyme and reason why Dr. Nambutrapad put those allergies in that order. And I think you addressed some of it there. You may want to talk a little bit more about that how important it is that you go follow the directions and follow the order of it till you get past those initial several treatments. And then once you pass the primary treatments, then you can kind of do whatever the body needs after that. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you can imagine, we were just talking about my mom. I can put bet money on it that there isn't a person on the world with as much passion and curiosity as she has. She's sort of crazy in some ways. And so you can imagine someone like her spent 40 years trying to develop this technique, close to 40 years anyway. And she, with all of those experiences and time and money that she spent on this, she finally developed this book, a guidebook, NAT guidebook is what we call it, which essentially boils all of her experiences down into a protocol that she found over her years to be the best way to do NAT for most of her patients. Mm-hmm. So having said that, sort of vouching for her credentials there, I think it would be foolish of anyone to try to shortcut that process or try differently. Of course, we're always trying to look for better ways to do things and faster and cheaper ways to do things. But as a whole, in general, the rule should be to follow that protocol. There are exceptions to that. There are sometimes, practitioners may be able to do it differently, and that's fine. But 90% of patients with illness should follow the guidebook as it's set out there.
Yeah. I think that makes perfect sense, especially since she knows, nobody knows better what, how to do this than the creator of the technique. So that's
exactly.
Yeah. Now, you said that I want to talk a little bit about autism. I know y'all are doing a study, and you had mentioned before we started recording the podcast here that you have a nonprofit foundation. I want you to talk about that a minute and tell us how this autism study is coming that I know y'all are doing, and what kind of results are you seeing with that?
Yes, so it's called Nambutrapad's Allergy Research Foundation. It's actually a nonprofit foundation that my mom founded, and The goal of this foundation is to provide research for NAAT and techniques like it, actually, to help provide non-invasive forms of treatment for allergies. So we've already published a couple of studies through that foundation by raising money from donors and such. And people are able to actually donate currently to a new study that we're actually doing. It's called a global autism study. And our goal in that study is to research 1,200 children worldwide who all have autism. And we've actually broken them into several groups with a placebo group and a treatment group and all kinds of things, just like a regular scientific study. The only difference is, of course, we can't get funding from the government as this treatment doesn't really rely on any drugs or medications. There's no way for any company to make profit on this, unfortunately, and which is why we chose autism, because most conventional treatments cannot treat autism. And so NAAT, I think, has a role here, and our goal is just to make sure that we can show that this treatment process can help, especially for autism, to establish this treatment as for one goal. But the second goal is to, of course, to sort of help eradicate autism if possible. And so people can donate now to that study. We do need about $8 to $9 million, unfortunately, to run this study to completion. We don't even have $500,000, I think, in the budget yet. We were able to collect some money, of course, and we are treating some patients, but we need, of course, a lot more money.
Okay.
All of this can be available on our website.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. If that's what I was going to ask, if people want to make a donation to your foundation, what do they need to do, or where do they need to go to do that?
So, yeah, if you go to www.naet.com, and then on the right-hand side, I believe there's a link that says Global Autism Study, or Autism Study, I believe. If you click on there, there's a lot of information. If people want further information, not just on the autism study, but even for NAAT, they're welcome to contact me directly. My email is questions@naet.com.
Okay. Now, what kind of results are you getting so far with your autistic study?
Actually, it's a double-blinded study. So actually, the practitioners and myself, my mom, who's sort of running or helping maintain the study, we actually don't know the results. Only the statistician has access to that. So we actually don't know at this point in time how it's going. But we do have, I believe, we have about 50 to 60 children that have gone through treatment. They're still going through the process. Of course, we want 1,200 as our sort of goal. But at some point, the statistician will make a call. If we have enough children that have improved and it's statistically significant, then we'll end the study. Because then at that point, it would not be ethical to just continue doing a study. We would need to provide the treatment at that point to everyone. But at this point, we're still researching it.
Okay. So what other studies are you working on at the present?
At this point, that's the only study. We only have the funds for that. But once that gets published and established and NAAT has, its name out there in the public to be sort of established, then we're hoping to approach the government, maybe get some more funding and help to do further studies on different things.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you talk also on your website, you have mentioned you have an online seminar for practitioners, healthcare professionals that want to learn this technique. Is that correct? And if it is, tell us about your online seminars.
Yes, that's correct. It's for healthcare professionals. So as long as you have a license or certification or registration from your state or even in a different country, you can take this course. It's all through the internet. Actually, it's a PowerPoint audio and video material, about 36 hours worth of material that you take first. Once you complete that, then you can go and you can actually start practicing NAAT. But if people want additional practical training, there's also instructors around the world, actually. And we have instructors that can come and help and provide practical training for the students as well. And you can find all that information on our website again under www.naet.com. And I believe there's a link that says training. And you can search. There is actually different languages that the website's available in. So if people in a different country or even in this country want to learn a different language, learn the material in a different language, we have French available now, Spanish, etc.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Well, I do want to say I appreciate your time and your effort and with what you're doing and your mother for discovering this technique. It has really changed my life. It's really been helping. It's changed so many other people's lives. I do want to say, though, this is not a quick fix. It, you know, it usually takes a while. But,
right.
You know, once you go through it, I mean, like I said, it's changed my life.
Yes.
And I also want to say this can also help people lose weight, can't it? In certain instances?
Yeah. Right. We have a practitioner in Lebanon, actually, in the Middle East, who actually specializes in that type of process. I would defer to him. I actually have not treated many people myself for that purpose. But yes, I've heard of people having good results with weight loss with NAT. It would probably be even more striking if someone had a real sort of metabolic issue, thyroid disease or some parasites or somebody was having some physiological issue in their body that was causing the weight gain. Mm-hmm. Or even just overeating from cravings, like we mentioned. You know, those are usually the culprits, and we can help with that. Of course, if somebody is gaining weight and for a different reason that may not be, of course, related to allergies or something that we can treat, then of course they need to see their doctor. But I would recommend people try it out anyway and see if NAT is good. You know, good for them. But at some point, they might want to check with their doctor and just make sure that you know. Everything's going as planned.
Sure.
From the doctor's viewpoint.
Yeah. And this is just this, we've just touched on, you know, several things, but this just gives an idea of how broad of symptoms and problems that this technique can address and help improve. It's absolutely phenomenal of what
yes.
this procedure can do. And I really appreciate you again. I appreciate your mother and her tenacity and her curiosity and determination to do something like this and to keep improving it. And that's another thing that really impresses me is that your mother, you know, she just continues to improve the technique all the time. And so that speaks volumes of you know, the type of person she is. She's really trying to get the best thing
yeah,
out
absolutely.
There to help the most mm-hmm. people. Well, thank you so much, and I just want to also say a little medical disclaimer that this information is for educational purposes only and should not be construed as medical advice. If you have a problem, you do need to go to a qualified healthcare practitioner. This is Beverly Butler, and you've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network.